Defining moments. Everybody has those. Defining moments are those times in your life when something takes place and you're never quite the same again. Sometimes they may be very positive things, wonderful opportunities that you never expected to come your way. Sometimes they may be very difficult times, things that you go through and you realize because you've had to endure, it has become a defining moment in your life. I can remember one of my own defining moments when I was a ninth grade boy. My ninth and tenth grade Sunday school class in the church where I grew up was only about six or seven guys. We all had grown up together. I'd known these fellows all of my life. But on that particular Sunday, we were coming to the end of our Sunday school class, and our teacher was wrapping things up, and as he concluded the lesson, he called on me to lead the class in prayer. And I froze. You see, in my growing up life up to that point, it was terrifying to me to be asked to do anything in front of other people. Meeting strangers was a challenge. Giving a report in class at school was really, really difficult. Speaking in public was an impossibility. Even when all you're supposed to do is pray in front of a handful of your friends. And I'll never forget that day, that defining moment, when after my teacher had called on me to pray and nothing had been said for 6 or 7 seconds, that he looked up at me and I said, and he stepped in and said that closing prayer. Imagine with me when you've been through that sort of an experience, and then a year, year and a half later, God begins to speak to me, and he says, Jim, I want you to preach. I'm calling you to ministry. Lord, I can't do that. You know I can't do that. You know the way I am. You know that the whole idea of getting in front of people is almost impossible for me. And if that weren't bad enough, there were already 4 or 5 other fellows in our church's youth group who had heard the call and surrendered to God's call to ministry. And all of these guys were incredibly gifted. They were leaders within the group. They were the kinds of people that people looked at and thought, now those guys, they're on their way somewhere, including my older brother. And I began to talk to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you don't know what you're asking. I can't do this. I'm not able. There's no way you can ask me. I'm not adequate to the task. Inadequacy. I can't do that. You're asking too much. I'm not gifted that way. I've tried and I've failed before. It may not be public speaking, but it can strike you in any kind of area of life. People will feel like they're not strong enough. They're not smart enough. They're not gifted enough. They're not able enough. Lord, you can't ask me to do that. I'm not that kind of person. People compare themselves with others and they find ways to say, I don't measure up, not the way they do. Some people may spend a lifetime believing those who have told them, you're a disappointing failure. You're never going to be enough to step up to God's standard for your life. Have you ever felt as though you've fallen short? Have you ever struggled with feelings of inadequacy, inability? Have you ever struggled to feel as though you're good enough to make a difference with your life? If you've ever felt that way, you have good company. You see, there's always Moses. Moses was so sure after he had made a mess out of his life that God's great plan for him was finished. Last Sunday, we took a look at what happened to Moses when he was 40 years old, and he was so sure that he was the one that God was going to use to make a tremendous difference with his life. And then he murdered the Egyptian. And then he had to run for his life. And then he found himself in Midian, the backside of nowhere, and realized, I'm going to spend my life in this forgotten place as a shepherd, and nobody will ever know what happened to me, and I will never make a difference with my life. The prince of Egypt was resigned to living out his life as a forgotten man. 40 years went by, and that broken, humbled shepherd had an encounter with God. You know what I'm talking about. He and his sheep were in Horeb, and all of a sudden he saw a bush and it was burning, but it was not being consumed. And he turned aside to see what was going on, and he heard an overwhelming call from God. The Lord said, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, there had been a time when Moses was sure that kind of challenge was his destiny. But that was before he failed, before he was broken, before he had given up. The Moses at the burning bush was a different kind of person. He understood his limitations. He was so aware of his failures. How could God use anybody as flawed as he was? And as God called to him out of the burning bush, Moses had questions he needed answers to before he could ever begin to consider whether God was going to do something special with his life. And the answers that God gave to Moses are the same answers that God gives to people today when we struggle with those feelings of inadequacy and insufficiency. If you ever struggle with spiritual or personal feelings of inadequacy, you need to know how God answered Moses' questions at the burning bush. So I want us to look together at those four questions this morning. Maybe they're your questions. Maybe you need to hear what God has to say to you this morning. The first question was a very simple one. Who am I? Lord, who am I for you to call me to do such a thing? Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Lord, who am I? Why do I matter? Why should anybody listen to me? Do these sound like familiar questions? Are they questions you've ever asked yourself? There are times when you find yourself exactly where Moses was, convinced you are not adequate to meet an overwhelming challenge. The Lord puts something in front of you and he says, I want you to make a difference. And you begin to say to him, Lord, you don't understand. You don't realize I can't do this. This is not me. I'm not sufficient. Moses realized he no longer had any status. He had no accomplishments. He had no reason that anybody should listen to anything he said. If the Lord was going to do something that incredible, he needed somebody with a track record of success. Maybe as Moses was asking that question, who am I? He had in his mind the names of people that God could use who were much more accomplished, who were much more able, much more gifted. And he said, Lord, what about them? These are the ones you can use, not somebody like me. Maybe God should give up on this call to Moses. After all, Moses was willing to give up on himself. Instead, God gave Moses a promise. He said, I will be with you. So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now, what makes that promise so significant? The Lord was saying to Moses, I'm going to be with you. Not occasionally, not in the big moments. I am going to be with you every day, all the time. Wherever you go. Basically what he was saying to Moses was, I'm going to send you. You're going to leave this place. You're going to go to Egypt. You're going to rescue my people. You're going to bring them back. And someday you'll be here again. And as long as you're making this big circle with your life, I'm going to be with you all the way. There'll never be a time when I won't be there. This morning, if all you can see is your own inadequacy, remember this. Just like Moses, you're a unique creation of God. He knows who you are. He knows how he's gifted you. He knows how he wants to use you because he has a personal plan for your life. And that plan is one that is specifically for you. And what he wants to do through you are the things he has planned for you. So you can trust him. He will always be there. In all of the seasons of life, you know, I look around this congregation this morning and I see people in all seasons of life. Some of us, like our children this morning, they're just getting started. Some of you, as students, you're beginning to say, what do I want to do? Some of us are in the midst of our life. Some of us are looking backwards. But one thing is for sure, God's plan is for all of us. And his promise is there'll never be a moment when I'm not with you. Not only will there never be a moment when I'm not with you, there'll never be a time in your life when I don't want to use you. There's never a time when God steps back and says, I think I'll take a break from you for a while. There'll never be a time when God says, I think I'm through with you now. God's plan is the plan for a lifetime. Now, that's not a promise that everything's going to be rosy for you, that all your struggles will go away. It's not a promise that you will never again have to try to find your way through. What it is a promise that God will be with you no matter what comes. Moses realized he would be able to meet the obstacles and the challenges that were coming his way because he knew this, God is with me. And I'm important in his life, in his heart. I can trust him. Moses was important. So are you. Your story may not be in the Bible, but it is in the plan of God. It is in the book that he has written for your life. Who am I? You are my child. You are important to me. I will always be with you. Well, that was the first question, but Moses had a second question. And that question was this, Lord, who are you? Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" It was a legitimate question. "Lord, who are you?" When people ask me, what am I supposed to tell them about you? Who is this God who has promised to be there? What can he do? How can he help? And the answer came thundering from the burning bush. "I am who I am." What was God saying? He was saying, "I am God Almighty. I have all authority from beginning to end. If I say it will be so, it will be so." Moses needed to know that the one who was calling him was the God of all creation. His wisdom was beyond comprehension. His power was more than Moses could imagine. He needed to understand, "The one who is sending me is I am." And if you're looking at those verses in your Bible, you are seeing "I am" is all capital letters. Why? Because it is saying, "This is the name of Almighty God. I am. I was there at the very beginning. I am. I'm with you right now. I am. I will forever be with you. I am the great I am." And in those times when you're not sure you're adequate to meet the challenges in front of you, and in those times when you're just not sure you can accomplish what God wants you to do, remember this: the Lord is infinitely more than adequate. His strength is available to you. When people ask, "Why should I listen to what you have to say? Why should I trust the one you trust? Why should I believe that God will do what God has promised to do?" The answer is simply this: because he is I am, and I am is with me. And while I may not be adequate, he is infinitely more than adequate. So you depend upon him and not yourself. So, Lord, I understand, who am I? Who are you? I am God. I will forever be God. And when you run into those times when you feel so inadequate to the challenge, so insufficient for the cause, understand this: I am. You can depend upon me. So Moses moved on to his third question. And the third question was a good one. He said, "Lord, who will pay attention to somebody like me?" Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" Moses had a good point. Why should anybody listen to him? The Hebrews would know who he was. Even though it had been 40 years since he had appeared in Egypt, they remembered. They remembered his failure. Pharaoh knew how he had disappointed him. Who would pay attention to somebody like Moses? Oh, there might have been a time when Moses' word carried some weight, but that had been a long time ago, and since that time, everybody knew. Moses had failed. Moses had murdered. Moses had run away. Moses was forgotten. Why would anybody pay attention? Moses knew what most of us realize. Nothing is more difficult for someone struggling with inadequacy than leaving themselves open to another failure. The Lord is sending him back, not just back. He's sending him to the very scene of his biggest failure. And the Lord is saying, I'm sending you back where you really messed up. I'm sending you back to that place where you failed desperately. And I'm sending you back there to do something incredible. Moses, you go, and I will use you. But Moses understood something. Lord, I can't go back there. I remember long, long ago, church in my hometown was looking for a pastor, and somebody called me and said, why don't you think about coming home? And I said, because they know me there. You know what I mean? Moses had that same response to the Lord. Lord, don't you understand something? These people know me. They know who I am. They know how I failed. How can I risk failing again in that place? Moses was not prepared for how the Lord would respond to his question. You see, at that point, God answered his question by asking a question. He said, Moses, what are you holding in your hand right now? Moses looked in his hand. He said, it's a rod. It's a walking stick. I need this to go around this rocky land that I use as I take care of my sheep. It's a rod. Well, Moses, throw it down. Throw it on the ground. When he did, it became a serpent, a snake. And then the Lord said this, now pick it up. Not there, by the tail. This is what Moses had to learn. Sometimes the only way to recover from failure is to risk being bitten. You have to go back to the place where things went wrong. You have to grit your teeth. You have to remember God is with you and grab your failure by the tail. You earn the right to be heard when you're willing to risk everything. And that's what God was teaching Moses right at that moment. Moses, you pick it up by the tail. You risk everything going wrong. Why would I do that? Because God told me to. And when he picked it up, it turned back into a walking stick. We don't know for sure, but the Bible tells us that in the Ark of the Covenant was that rod that budded. I don't know. It was Abraham's rod. Maybe it was passed on to Moses. I don't know. I do know this. For the rest of his life, Moses recognized every time he touched that stick, God told me, take a risk. He told me, risk everything. And he did. But he still had one more question. Maybe the most important one of all. But Lord, what about my real inadequacies? Then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." It was a good question. What about my real limitations? Not things I imagine, not things I exaggerate. What about those very real broken places in my life? What about the very fact that what you're telling me to do is the one thing I feel like I am not capable of doing? Moses had a real problem with his speech. Lord, how can you begin to speak through me when this is the greatest limitation of my life? And the Lord gave Moses two concrete answers, and those answers will work for you as well as they did for Moses. And the first one is this: God often works most effectively through your weakness. Sometimes when God calls you out and gives you a challenge, He doesn't challenge you to do something where you feel very adequate and very strong and very sufficient. Sometimes He calls you out to do something that scares you to death. Sometimes He calls you out to do something that takes you way outside of your comfort zone. You know, over the years, it has been my privilege to travel on a number of mission trips, to go to a lot of places in the world. Every time that I have gone somewhere to be on a mission trip, I can remember as I sat on the plane getting ready to leave Birmingham to go to wherever, I was always telling myself the same thing. I don't have time for this. I don't know why I agreed to do this. I've got too much to do at home. I don't need to do this right now. And every time, God has been faithful, and every trip has been a huge blessing in my life. And I think maybe one of the reasons I've struggled with that is because God wants us to know when He's getting ready to use us, it's about your weakness. It's not about your strength. He does His best work through people who have to trust Him because they know they can't depend on themselves. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." Listen to me. God doesn't work in you in spite of your weaknesses. He works in you through the inadequacies of your life. He doesn't work in you in spite of where you may be flawed. He uses flawed people to make a difference in the world. You don't think I'm right? Read about everybody in the Bible. Because they're all just like us. And we see them in their strongest moments, and we see them in their weakest moments, and we see God use people. The second answer that God gave was this: and God often gives you someone to share the burden. The Lord provided Moses with his brother Aaron. And the Lord would speak to Moses, and Aaron would be Moses' spokesperson, and God used them together to fulfill His plan. You don't have to do it all by yourself. God will send others. It's what I love about the church. We have each other to lean on. None of us is sufficient alone. This past week, I was watching an interview with a celebrity who was talking about their faith. And they said this. They said, "You know, I really love Jesus, but I don't love His church." And I thought a couple of things. The first thing I thought was this: how unbiblical. You know, the Bible's the one who tells us, don't neglect gathering yourselves together. But even more than that, I thought, how sad. How sad to think I'm going to walk this journey with Christ all alone. Because the Lord brings our best out when we serve Him together. A few weeks ago, we shared the Lord's Supper, and at the end of the service, I said, you know, we're going to use our benevolence offering today to take up a disaster offering for the folks who at that point had been so affected by Hurricane Helene. Who knew that there would be another one right behind it? Boy, our folks respond in such a powerful way. $2,000 that day. Except that today, it's more than $7,000. And there's additional money to be counted by our money counters tomorrow. Why is that? Because we recognize what none of us can do alone, all of us can do together. We can show the love of Christ to hurting people through the folks of First Baptist Church of Birmingham. How powerful is that? None of us can do anything alone. But God says you don't have to. Moses had come face to face with his insufficiency so God could make him sufficient. He knew he was inadequate to accomplish what God had called him to do. But he also knew this: nothing is impossible with God. At the burning bush, Moses heard God's call. And that call was simple. Moses, surrender. I know you've got questions. I know you've got objections. I know you feel inadequate. Surrender, and I will use you. In my own life, surrender allowed the all-sufficient Christ to overcome my insufficiency. That's another story for a different day. But I can tell you this. When you let Him, He'll take you in your broken places, and He will use you through the power of the Lord who is always sufficient. He was all sufficient for Moses. He is all sufficient for you. You just trust Him. That's true when it comes to salvation. You trust Jesus. You don't come to Him and say, Lord, I finally reached that point where I'm good enough and I'm spiritual enough and I'm holy enough, so now I'm going to trust you. You simply say, Lord, I surrender. And that's all it takes. And maybe you're here today and you're not a believer. And maybe today is the day when you need to come. In a minute, we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. And you can come right here to where I am, and I would love the opportunity to introduce you to Jesus and lead you to Him as Savior and Lord. Maybe today I surrender has to do with becoming part of what God is doing at First Baptist Church. I don't want to do this alone. I want to do this as part of a body of believers, and this is where I believe God is calling me. Maybe in your life there have been those defining moments, those struggling moments, and you've tried to handle it apart from Him, but today is the day when you recognize, you know what? I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody to pray for me as I surrender to to Jesus. And maybe you just need to come and say, would you pray with me about this specific thing God is doing in my life? Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. As God speaks to you, you surrender. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Been a good day in God's house. I'm glad we got to share this time together. Let me remind you, tonight, very special time, Andy Under the Stars, 6 o'clock. Bring your chair or bring your blanket. Bring your... So we had a great... I think last... You said 104, Jim, last Sunday. Came, had a great time. We had great snacks. We had a good study together. But I'm telling you, tonight's going to be really special because Amanda and Sam are going to be leading our study tonight. They're going to do a great job, and I'm looking forward to that. So you be here tonight. They're going to be a blessing to us. We're going to watch some Andy. We're going to enjoy some food. We're going to hear some Bible study. It's going to be a great time together as God's people. So we look forward to seeing you tonight. Let's bow together now for a closing prayer. And then one final song as we dismiss. Father, we do thank you that you are so sufficient. And we are so flawed. And you are so loving. And all we have to do is surrender to what only you can do in our lives. Bless us, Father, as we trust you in all of the seasons, all of the defining moments of our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.